I say this, Lord Jesus, I thank you. You are my Lord, my God, my high priest before my Father. I make these confessions of faith, knowing full well you watch over your word to perform it before the Father. Father, I thank you. I am your child. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Ever since you made me a new creation. All things, even generational curse, family curse, has all passed away. All things in my life now are new, completely new. My life, my thoughts, my mind, my soul, my spirit, my body, my health, my life has all become new. I am a new creation. All things, things of death, sorrow, curse have all passed away from my life. I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. Father, I'm of your kingdom. Thank you, Father. You have delivered me from the authority of darkness. You have translated me into your kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son of your love. No other king rules in my life but Jesus Christ. Satan does not rule in my life. The powers of darkness does not rule in my life. The curse does not rule in my life. Every sickness and disease does not rule. Jesus Christ reigns. And Jesus Christ rules in my life. Therefore, my life is filled with His righteousness, His goodness, His miracles, His blessings, His grace, His joy, His peace, His life, His abundance, and His health. Hallelujah! I thank you, Father. You have qualified me. In Jesus' name, give Him praise. Hallelujah! Oh, praise your name, Father. Amen. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. What's happening to your heart right now? What's happening to your heart? Come on. Isn't it amazing when you speak the truth? Can you sense the Holy Spirit? And He's amen in your heart right now. He's saying amen. And healing reigns. Righteousness reigns. Amen. The Lord spoke to me and the Lord says, I want you to lead them. Since last week. In confessions of hope and faith. And He says, while they are confessing, I am working. Alright, I repeat. The righteousness of the law says, the man who doeth shall live. That's what the righteousness of the law, old covenant, says. But the righteousness of faith speaketh. That's all you need to do, speaks. Old Testament righteousness must do, must work, must perform. And some Christians still think that we are under that system. No, our system, the righteousness of faith speaks. To God, speaking is the greatest doing. God made everything in Genesis 1 by speaking. Amen? And you have spoken truth in the presence of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's all true. Hallelujah. It's all true. Amen? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's go right into the Word. Tonight, I want to continue from where I left off last Bible study. Last week, we saw from the Scriptures the importance of seeing Jesus. We saw how to see Jesus. And we also saw what to look out for when you see Jesus. Amen? So we saw last week that
When Jesus rose from the dead, the very same day, he left behind a blueprint of what every Sunday service ought to be. On the same day that he rose from the dead in the morning, that same day later on in the day, he was walking with two of his disciples on the Emmaus Road, and the Bible says their eyes were restrained, that they did not know who they were talking to. And the Bible says that Jesus pinpointed two problems in their lives, and one was foolishness, which is lack of knowledge, the knowledge of God, and number two, slow of heart to believe. So maybe one of them did not have knowledge, the other one had knowledge, but was slow to believe what he knew. But for both conditions, which describe the Church of Jesus Christ today, we thank God that we find the answer in that road, as Jesus walked with them in the Emmaus Road. He expounded to them, the Bible says, from Moses and the prophets, things concerning himself. And later on they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures? Right after they saw him disappear, they were not saying, did you see that? Did you see that? Some of us say, did you see that? They were more intrigued that their hearts burned after he disappeared. So why did the Lord do that? Why did the Lord restrain their eyes from knowing who he was? Because Jesus, to God, is more important you see Jesus in the scriptures than that you see him physically. He was there physically, and yet he opened up the Old Testament to them, things concerning himself, and their hearts burned. And I think the lesson was learned because when he disappeared later on in their house at the breaking of bread, they did not focus on his physical presence or disappearance. They immediately said, did not our heart burn within us? Amen? Then later on, we saw another blueprint for our Sunday worship. He broke bread in their house. And then when they recognized him, he disappeared. That again shows us that God is not too fascinated by us wanting to see him physically. It's more important you see him in the scriptures. So in that sense, the Emmaus Road disciples does not have one up on you. We are all given equal chance to know the Lord. Amen? You don't have to have Jesus appear to you physically. You don't have to have Jesus break the bread for you physically. Once we do it every Sunday, or we do it every day we read the scriptures, you know something? He's there. His unseen presence. Amen? And again, I'm fascinated by the fact that it's more important to him that we see him in the Bible, in the scriptures, than to see him in person. Today, we want to continue our studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And why this is the answer, listen carefully. Once upon a time, there was someone who joked like this. I don't know whether it's a non-Christian or a Christian who joked this. Someone wrote on the blackboard in school, Jesus is the answer. And then after recess or, you know, all the students came back, somebody wrote below it, yeah, but what is the question? So we don't know whether it's a non-Christian or a Christian, you know, trying to be smart, but actually I'll write something else under that question. Yeah, but what is the question? All right? I'll say the answer to everything. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Amen? 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 There is no idol, American or Singapore. There is no one above him. The rest are all idols. I think that's why they call it idol. Amen? And by the way, the winner is... Okay, never mind. I'm not... But... Now I got you distracted, didn't I? All right? Don't be distracted with idols. Come on, focus on the word, don't be idle. Come on. Why is it important to see Jesus? Because for some reason, this is God's answer. You know, we're going to look at the book of Revelation once again tonight. The book of Revelation, the last book. But before we look at the book, why is it important that we see Jesus? And is he the answer to everything? Obviously, the Lord thinks so. You know, when he appeared to the seven churches, do you know that he appeared? And the Bible says he appeared in a particular revelation about himself. First of all, in a while's time, we'll see in Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says he appeared and his eyes were like fire, his hair white like wool. Now, you know that he's too young, and in heaven, there's no one who grows old. So white like wool means radiant. That's the way they describe. You know, if someone shines with radiance, they say that it was whiter than snow or white like wool. All right, it's not that he's old. No one is old. Even your heavenly father, I don't know you know this or not. He's called the Ancient of Days. All right, but he's young. I had a revelation one time. The Lord says, why do you see me old? And I say, because your father. And the Lord says, up here, no one grows old. Growing old is part of the curse that came from Adam's fall. He says, I am forever young. And then I begin to see my heavenly father like Jesus. The Father, the Son, is young. Forever. Amen? Now, then his feet, like they burn in fine brass, that like burn, like they're burning in a furnace. Now, we know that all these are descriptions. Amen? But then later on, when he appeared to the seven churches, the seven churches, except for one, had some problems in their church. But what he did was that the Bible says when he appeared differently to all of them, showing them a particular revelation about himself. That is, we see the whole revelation of him in Revelation chapter 1, all right? How he was dressed, how he looked like, his eyes and all that. But then in the seven churches, each church had, for example, this thing says he, whose eyes burn like fire. Another church, this thing says he, who has the key of David. But in Revelation chapter 1, he talks about he's all this, plus he has the key of David. And then to another church, and then to the church that says, he says he has the key of David, he says, I've opened to you an open door, and no one can shut. Because the key of David opens, and no one can shut. And shuts, and no one can open. If God opened to you prosperity, no one can shut it. Not even your boss, not even your competitor. Amen. If God wants to shut, no one can open. You can try to be the bestest, the firstest, the mostest, but if God, you know, opens and God blesses, it is the Lord that promotes. It is the Lord that blesses. So that gives us peace in our career. Amen? Whether you're a businessman or you, whatever, you don't have to compete. Amen? You only have to trust God that He will open. Put the key in. He has the keys. And then he also said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell. Good news. Jesus, the one who loves you, has the keys of hell. And not only that, I have the keys of death. Good news. The one who loved you and gave his life for you has all the keys of death. See ya. Death. Amen. Satan does not have it. And the good news is that the Bible says Satan, he destroyed Satan who had the power of death. Hebrews 2:14. So if you look at the Old Testament, yes, there was a time Satan had the power of death, but our Lord Jesus now has it. That ought to assure your hearts. And then he appeared to one particular church, Pergamos or Thyatira, where he says, you're going to face martyrdom. You're going to face persecution. There was a persecuted church. But he told them this, don't worry. I am he that liveth and was dead. Amen. And then he tells them, because the revelation of him in all these particular aspects has got to do with what they are faced with. And it gave them victory. It gave them deliverance. Amen. Now, Pastor Prince, those are the seven churches. By the way, every seven church has a particular revelation of him in a certain aspect. And it's got to do with something that they are faced with. Good news? Like one church is knocking like a closed door. And then he appears. I am he that has the key of David. I open and no one shuts. I shut and no one opens. Let's say you're a business person and you're knocking on a door that doesn't seem to open. And the Lord says, cool, I am your savior. I have the keys. Amen? You know, just now when I said it, I felt the anointing just went through. And peace came to your heart. And that's only a little revelation of Jesus. Can I have a good amen? You know, you and I got to come to a place where we are fully convinced that every answer we need is in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going to ask God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that grace, God's favor and peace, shalom, is multiplied in our life through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Amen. The original Greek says, Jesus is our God and our Lord. Same person. Amen. Through the knowledge of Jesus, our God and Lord. So, Whatever you need, you know, Pastor Prince, I need more finances. I understand these seven churches, they need all these spiritual things. You know, it's everything in your life. Everything in your life is met by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you remember the Gospel of John? They were hungry. And he introduced himself as, I am the bread of life. Now, Pastor Prince, that's spiritual. Their hunger wasn't. Yes, he met their physical need, church. So let's not spiritualize that idea. I know the bread of life primarily is for us, our spiritual need. To see him as our bread of life. But let's not, you know, if you see $5 and $100, which one you pick up? I know you all by now. I just want to say it again. All right? So he meets your spiritual and he meets your physical. In fact, it was meeting their physical need. With five loaves and two fishes. It was their physical need he met to demonstrate to them, if I meet your spiritual need, will I not meet your spiritual need? Your physical need, will I not meet your spiritual need? Then it was that miracle that he introduced himself as, I am the bread of life. Amen? And how many blind people did he heal in the Gospels? And remember, there was one particular blind person. He says, I am the light of the world. Amen? Well, Pastor Prince, that is to show that he's a spiritual light. Yeah, but don't forget, he demonstrated by healing physical blindness. Amen. So I told you just now, whether it's a physical need, Jesus, a revelation of Jesus, I am this. It should be, you know, we should be spiritual gluttons to find out as much as we can about Jesus. And God has given us the Holy Spirit for revelation of Jesus Christ. Hello? Hang up, Ray. Just in time. Or else I would have spoken to whoever it is. You know what? It'd be good, isn't it? Pastor Prince down here, yeah. In the midst of my preaching. The wonders of modern technology. Waste my time. Okay, where was I? Talking about revelation. What a revelation. He introduced himself as I am. I am is the great revelation. Remember the burning bush? The burning bush where Moses encountered God. And the Bible says God was in the midst, of the burning bush. Amen? And God says to Moses, I am come down to deliver my people out of Egypt. So what was the message from the midst of the burning bush? He has come down to what? Deliver his people. But there, he introduced his name as I am that I am. Right? Then Jesus came and says, I am the bread of life. If you are hungry, spiritually hungry, physically hungry, I am the bread of life. If you are spiritually blind, physically blind, sickness in your body, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. If you can't find the door, I am the door. You come to me and you'll find the way. Yeah? In or out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He is the answer. Yeah. And do you remember Moses had that experience of God in the burning bush? God is so tender-hearted. God is so kind. Our God is a good God. You know, when his people was in the burning furnace, God appeared in the burning bush. When Joshua was about to invade Jericho, the people has never really fought, except at the when Moses was there holding up his hands. But the people seldom fight in the wilderness. And there's a whole new company now who has never fought. Amen? So you can think about the emotions, the apprehensions and fears and anxieties they went through. But even Joshua is supposed to lead them, and he's wondering, you know. And he has these fears. And then that night, the Bible says the captain of the host appeared with a drawn out sword. Remember that? And Joshua came near him and says, Joshua, take off your shoe. The ground you are standing is holy ground. Now who is that? That's Jesus. But notice he didn't appear in a burning bush. At the burning bush, he appeared in a burning bush because his people was in a burning furnace, the Bible tells us. It calls it a burning furnace. They were slaves in Egypt. Amen. And he identified himself with them. Do you know God loves to identify himself with you? Amen? And God says to Moses, take off your shoe. The place you are on is holy ground. When you go to your friend's house, you go to someone you respect, and this is Middle Eastern custom, by the way, as well, you take off your shoes. You have come to God's house. Where God is, that's his house. And Joshua saw the sword, and a captain. The Lord appearing as a captain now. Why? Because his people are wondering, can they become a great army or not? And he has come to lead them. Come on, church. And when his people dwell in tents, where did God dwell? The 40 years of wandering. When the people dwell in tents, where did God dwell? God dwelt between the wings of the cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant in a tent. I told you, he wants to be where you are. I just want to be where you are. I know we sing that song actually, telling the Lord, but the Lord is singing that song to us. If I can only reverse that song. As the Lord singing to you, I just want to be where you are. Amen? And we are thinking of God like, you know, God is still in the Holy of Holies and we got to press in. We got to press in. He's come out, yo. He's come out, dog. I don't know what's this dog business with that. But church, aren't you glad that our God is the same God in the Old Testament as well as now? Except in the Old Testament, he was angry with his people when they were under the law. And if they disobeyed the law, he has no choice. He's a just God. But praise be to God, we are not under law. And we are post-cross and resurrection. Jesus has paid all the price for our law-breaking. And the law is now, the old covenant is now antiquated. There are people preaching from an antiquated covenant, from an antiquated law. Law has expiry date. It has expired. That means there was a use for the law at one time. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. It has expired. Amen? But some people are still eating food that's expired. Now, food that's not expired has a purpose. It's good. You won't get poisoned. You won't get harmed. But if you eat food that's expired, all right, it's going to cause a problem in your life. Amen? Now, revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So same thing happened to John. John was in the Spirit on holy ground. That means this in the Spirit is a special term for in the Spirit. It's not like what you have. You are in the Spirit because God's Spirit is in you in Romans 8. This is truly in the Spirit, a special experience. He was in the presence of God. All right? On the Lord's Day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now, whenever you see trumpet, it should tell you one thing. All right, redemption. Proclaiming redemption. Whether you sing it, whether you declare it, like what we did just now, confess it. You know, just now all of us were sounding forth the trumpet. You know what happened when Joshua and the priests sound forth the ram's horn and they shouted? You know what happened to Jericho? The walls were so thick that they had chariot races on the wall, but the whole wall collapsed at a shout. All we got to do is proclaim. All right, our ministry is preaching is a sounding of a trumpet. Singing is a sounding of a trumpet. And the trumpet, listen carefully, there are only two kinds of trumpets in the Bible. One is silver, one is the ram's horn, the shofar. All right? And both mean one thing, redemption. The metal, silver, means redemption. Silver trumpet means you sound forth, not judgment. You don't sound the trumpet to condemn people. Amen? You sound the trumpet. Now, proclaiming Jesus has redeemed people. Amen? And then the other shofar is you get a shofar from the death of a male ram. And that's the death of Jesus Christ. And when you proclaim, you blow the shofar, it's a picture of proclaiming the victory of Jesus. Amen? The Bible says a priest having seven horns, seven shofar actually, surrounded Jericho. And those seven horns, we see them again in the book of Revelation. Amen? And Jesus was seen as a lamb just slain, freshly slain, and he has seven horns. What does that mean? Don't think of horns like that. All right? Think of he has perfect redemption, and we have to sound it forth. Can I have a good amen? Oh, I must tell you this. When we look at the book of Revelation, please don't forget. I repeat again. The book of Revelation has been so used. I'm going to say abused. But more books have sold because of the book of Revelation. And there are many people who believe that Revelation was God showing the end times and what's going to happen in the end times. Now, I'm not saying there's no element of the end times. You look carefully. John says, Jesus told John, the things that has happened, and which shall happen. So, the amazing thing is that at one time, I had the impression that the book of Revelation is all future. When the Lord clearly said, some things has happened, some things is, like the seven churches, and some things will happen. Okay? And by the way, the first five words of Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the first five words is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's not the revelation of the beast and the dragon, or Saddam Hussein, or Iraq, or nuclear weapons. It's not. Amen. Apostle Prince, don't you think that there are nuclear weapons mentioned there? You know, we are not too sure yet, because I'm beginning to see that book is a book of symbols. Now, you can't say Jesus standing down there as like, I saw a lamb freshly slain, John says. What do you see? Meh. Having seven horns. Meh. Seven horns. With seven eyes. Meh. So, you cannot say that symbol and then we choose, this is a helicopter. You see, locusts are helicopters based on modern warfare. You know, Apache. With machine guns and all that. So, if that is symbols, you know, I reckon that some things are symbols. God is showing us how the dragon operates. Amen. How the devil operates. And the centrality of the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 1, first five words. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, in the following verses, in chapter 1, it says, which he signified to his servant John. Isn't it interesting? He didn't say, which he gave to, interpreted or whatever. He signified, the word signified, the first four letters, sign. He signified. The whole book is a book of signs, signified. You don't understand that? You read this book as if it's got no significance. Amen. Signified. Amen. Got it? And he that sat on the throne was like a jasper and a sardius stone. Now, it wasn't a stone sitting on the stone. On the throne. It was the Lord, God Almighty, sitting on the throne. But he looked like jasper and a sardius stone. Now that's a beautiful description of God. Amen. Jasper is completely transparent, like crystal. And sardius stone is a type of ruby, red color. Because the one who sits on the throne is holy. And he came and shed his blood. Amen. Amen. And by the way, in the order of the high priest garments, the sardius stone is first. The jasper is last. Why? Because Jesus, from man's angle, high priest is for man. From man's angle, we must come to Jesus, the red blood. Then we see the holy God. The stones are reversed. When you see God on the throne, you see God holy. Amen? And he's the God who came as the red, the blood. Now, once you see it like that, then you see a rainbow around the throne. Like unto emerald. And we saw last Sunday, the rainbow is like emerald because the focus of the color is emerald because emerald is green and green means new. New covenant. Because of the new covenant, God has a rainbow around the throne. And what's the meaning of rainbow? God swore. This is like the waters of Noah unto me. As I have sworn that I'll never again flood the earth, so I swear to you, I will never be angry with you nor condemn you. Good news? So when you read the book of Revelation, you must not read God condemning the church like some people try to interpret that. Now, like, there are, you know, the symbols, for example, the 666, all right? It's only two places on man's anatomy. One is on his forehead, and one is on his arm. Now, will there be a computer chip or whatever next time, or fish and chips that people put on the forehead or on the arm, you know, the mark of the beast? I'm telling you, books have sold in the hundreds of thousands, making their authors very rich, you know, with the fears people have of the end times. But if you look carefully, you find that in the Old Testament, there was also a sealing going on the forehead. Forehead and arm is the way the sons of Adam live without God. They live either by their hard work, labor work, or they work with their heads. And nobody works by the favor of God. Huh. Amen? So 666 is man. It's all, it's fully man. It's glorified man, self-made man. Amen? Remember the woman who was bound, looking at the dust for 18 years? The Bible, there's no insignificant detail in the Bible. 18 is 6 plus 6 plus 6. She was bound for 18 years, and Jesus set her free from looking at the dust. People of the world look at dust. They look at natural things. They build hospitals, and there are people hearing me right now who have been healed of incurable diseases, of chronic conditions. Right now, I'm not exaggerating. I have stacks, a stack right now. I've not even read, I don't even have time to read the whole thing, of people receiving tremendous miracles in our church. And one of them are healings, recent healings in May, healings that happen to their body while the Spirit of God is moving in the service. So we got people down here who have been healed of incurable diseases, long-term illnesses, chronic conditions, that people in the world are building multi-million dollar hospitals because they don't have God. Now, when Christians forget the ways of God and they settle for being worldly and think worldly, worldly is not your makeup, it's not your dressing. But when you think worldly and you borrow their 666 and put it on your head, you think like the world, man, not God, God, God. All right, then what's going to happen is that you will borrow their hospital as well. Now, it's not, listen carefully. Please don't see in this condemnation. All right, it's not. If you are sick, all right, go to the hospital. Go to the clinic. All right, doctors are our friends. All right, doctors don't give disease. If they give disease, then they are not our friend. Amen? So doctors are our friend, no condemnation. But I'm showing you God's heart. God is telling us to press into greater revelation. What is meant for the world? You are in the world, you confess just now, but not of the world. But you come to a place where the children of Israel didn't have, Egypt, do you know Egypt that they came out from? Do you know that Egypt was highly, highly developed in surgery and medicine in the world at that time? Do you know that they can... Until now, they find modern science, medical science cannot understand how they can preserve a body, how they can take the brain out from the nose, nostrils. They are still struggling to find out how they can do it, right? Technology of Egypt was amazing, medicine and all that. He's a doctor, he's a surgeon. Now, I know if I pull out from your nose, something else will come out, but not your brain. How in the world did they do it? But you know something? Hey, listen. The Bible says even Moses was learned in the ways of the Egyptians. When the people were sick, when they were bitten by snakes, Moses did not say, now you apply this, oh, very good, now this medicine, you must boil hot in clay pot, you know, it will taste bitter, but never mind. All right, just drink it, and you'll get better. You know, put this on your snake bite, okay? No, Moses knew that they have to live supernaturally. But don't forget, they came out of Egypt. And God says, I'll put none of the diseases of Egypt. They had so much medical science in Egypt at that time that doctors and historians today are amazed still. And yet, they had so much diseases. And God says, I'll put none of the diseases. God put it this way, diseases of Egypt on you. For I am the Lord that healeth you. You want to know what kind of God I am compared to all other gods? I am the God who heals you. Ha ha! Hallelujah! I told you he's a good God, amen? So, in the book of Revelation, we see signs, alright? Jesus and each of the signs. I love it. Instead of saying, and we have lost that art, you know, we look at one another, hey, you look nice today. We eat candlelight dinner, you know, nowadays, that you look nice. Look at the girl, you look nice today? And the girl is thinking, nice or nicer? Oh, nicer. Then she thinking, what is nice about me today? Ayo, let's eat, leh. You know, I just told you you look nice. What do you want, you know? And what they want is like, did anyone tell you eyes like yours you can look at forever? It's like rivers. I can drown in those eyes. Probably I can see it in the first place, lah. So, yeah. Amen. They want things like that. Amen. You don't say things like, your cheek's so pale. Say, why? How come, darling? The roses there has faded a little bit, you know? They can take that. They can't take, oh, it looks so like monster die already, you know? Or something like that, you know? Amen. We are lazy. The bottom line is that we are lazy. Amen. So, yeah, that's the problem. Amen. Well, these are the guys that have tremendous relationship. We are all, you know, we think that. Amen. It'd be more poetic. Don't think I am, by the way, okay? I got to learn like any of you. But the book of Revelation is a book of signs and symbols. Amen? Revelation chapter 1, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me. Why behind me and not in front? Because at this point, the work of Jesus is behind. All of us look behind at redemption. The voice proclaiming redemption is now behind us. We are now AD 2005. All the saints, old covenant saints, look forward to the cross. We look behind. It's finished. Amen? I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and the last. Again, he introduced himself to us. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Please listen, church. We saw last week how to see Jesus. When he introduced himself as something, it is not for you to say, now, you see how great I am? You are there. I am this. I am here. I am Alpha and Omega. You, always last. I am Resurrection. You, Tong Tong Kang. You know? No. Okay? Listen carefully. Hey, try not to laugh too long. I got time to, you know. Listen carefully. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, it means this. I am the resurrection for your death. When he says, I am the life, all right? This is the life I'm giving you. When he stands in front of you and says, I am God's righteousness so that I can be that to you. All that he appears, all right, in the book of Revelation or any other book in the Bible is to show you who you are in him. That's what it means to be in Christ. And the Bible says, as Christ is, so are we in this world. And the Bible says, I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed. Amen. He told his disciples, he gave them great comfort. I am the vine, you are the branches. I used to think he is the trunk and we are the branches. But until I found out one day, when I saw a vine tree and I studied about vine, and I realized that vines don't have trunk. A vine is made up of all our branches. So all the branches, he says, I am the vine. I am all of you. I am in all of you, and all of you are in me. We cannot be separated. It is not as if, you know, even you say a trunk, he is the trunk, and we are the offshoots or branches. All right? There is still that trunk identification. But this is so one, a branch. When he says, I am the vine, it means I am all of you together. Amen. As well as individually in each of you, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you see Jesus saying something about himself, when he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, he's telling you that, listen carefully, I want you to know something, all right? The devil does not have the last word in your life. Amen? Your enemies don't have the last word in your life. All right? Medical evidence, whether it's x-ray, don't have the final word in your life. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the one who has the final word and I'm the one who has the first word. Amen. In your life. I'm the first and I'm the last. Amen. So whatever you see about Jesus in the book of Revelation is he's there to become that to you. We learned last week that God has made Christ unto us. God has made him unto us wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Notice the phrase, God made Christ to become our wisdom. So it is in your vested interest to study Jesus Christ. Because the more of him you see, the more you know what you have. And who you are. Chapter 1. And what you see right in the book sent to the seven churches. Now, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, John says, isn't it interesting that all this is revealed to Yohanan, Hebrew. John means grace. He represents, I think, people of grace, by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God can interpret the book of Revelation. It was given to a disciple whose name was Grace. But then why don't put Grace, Pastor Prince? Because it says that it's given to Grace. All of you think it's a girl. So it's given to John, Yohanan, his name in Hebrew, which means God is gracious. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Now, how many have seen a Jewish menorah? All right? Even by itself, it has what? Seven branches. There is a main stalk, all right, and three here, and three here. Okay, menorah. Now, he saw seven golden lampstands, and the Bible says, look, next verse. And in the midst, say the midst, of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Now look up here. Do you remember when Moses saw God in the burning bush? The Bible says God called him out of the midst of the burning. Watch this now. Exodus, please. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the angel of the Lord here is a term used for Jesus in his pre-incarnate appearance. Remember, angel is not always angel. Capital A, especially in your NIV or your new Bibles, is always referring to Jesus. The word angel means messenger. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And now, but you know that the Jewish menorah is a tree? Do you know it's a tree? And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, in the middle of that tree, the menorah, he saw Jesus. Here, in the middle of the bush, right? God appeared to him in the middle of the bush. All right, now look up here. God appeared to Moses with a message. I'm come down to bring my people out of bondage. Jesus appeared in the midst of the menorah, which is a picture of the tree, the almond tree, with this message. What's the message? This is the same message as Moses. It cannot be worse. It can only be better. As God came down in the midst of the burning bush with this message to Moses, I'm come down to deliver my people. Jesus came down to deliver his seven churches from persecution. Do you know that all the seven churches existed? And do you know something? They're all now all over the world. Do you know that Rome was trying to kill them? Do you know that Jewish orthodoxy, if you study history during that time, was trying to destroy all the seven churches? It was still a baby church. And you know, Jesus gave this revelation to John, and the seven churches, listen carefully. Some people will show you the place of Ephesus and how this church is no more there. Yeah, the structure is no more there. Turkey, by the way, all these seven churches are now in Turkey. And Turkey today is a Muslim nation. But listen, from the seven churches are churches all over the world. What happened is that the church was under heavy persecution from Rome as well as from Jewish orthodoxy. There were Pharisees still going around. And most of the churches are Jewish at that time. Don't forget. That's why the terms used are very Jewish terms. Amen. And then the Lord is telling them, they have people in their congregations, they're not even safe. That's why to every one of the seven churches, the rebuke or correction, as well as the praises, is given to the pastor of the church, the angel of the church. But nowhere does it say, I will take away your eternal salvation, which a lot of people teach. One of it, it says, I'll remove your candlestick. What does that mean? That means the pastor will not be able to pastor a church if he refuses to listen to the Lord. See, our position is very important. If we don't preach the truth, God will shut down the candlestick, not shut down my eternal life. God has sworn he will never. All right, but my work, we learned last 2 weeks, will be burned, so to speak, with fire, but I'll still be saved. Let's not read things into that. You know, another place where it says to the pastor, he rebuked one pastor of one particular church where the pastor allowed a lady called Jezebel, didn't say called Jezebel, a lady there who is Jezebel, teaching people to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, many commentaries say that means teach them physical fornication or adultery, all right, outside marriage, sex outside marriage, as well as eating physical food. Now, listen carefully. If that is so, then Jezebel is the real Jezebel. That adultery there is spiritual adultery. Okay? Now, is adultery wrong? Physical adultery? Yes! Amen? Now, is eating food sacrificed to idols wrong? Read 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to answer that. Read 1 Corinthians. When is it wrong? When the conscience of a weaker brother. Paul has a message there. But do not go out here and say, Pastor Prince says it's okay to eat. All right? But what I'm trying to say is that you cannot say this is physical and then Jezebel is spiritual. If Jezebel there is if the two things are physical things, then Jezebel is a physical Jezebel that appeared in the church from the dead. All right? And we learned last week, how do you commit spiritual adultery? When you go back to miss the law. How do you commit spiritual witchcraft? Who has bewitched you? When you go back to the law. Amen. Many in the seven churches are not even saved. That's why to every one of the seven churches, Jesus says, to him that overcomes, I'll give him the hidden manna. To him that overcomes, will inherit all things. To him that overcomes. But according to John's own letter, 1 John, who is he that overcomes? But he that believes Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But then if you read some books on Revelation, you got to be careful because some people teach you, he that overcomes all things. You know, that means at the end of your life, you overcome everything in your life. Whoa. That is a big responsibility to chew off, all right, and to put on people for their eternal destiny. Now, once again, we are back to the question. Are we saved by grace? Through the blood of Jesus? Completely Jesus' blood? None of our works? Or some of Jesus' blood, some of our works? We got to settle this once and for all, so that we don't read things in the book of Revelation. The other preachers, you know, they try to insinuate or try to frighten people. The book was never given to frighten people. There's one part where, even in that church, Jezebel, the Lord did not say, I'll come and kill you, you pastor. For pastoring like this. He didn't even kill the pastor. God, don't forget, he has the power of hell and death. What he said was this, alright? Listen, if you don't, you allow this woman to teach in your church. That means it's a system of teaching. It's a doctrinal thing in the church. And the Lord said, alright, I'm going to come to you and I will kill her. Now, this is the first time you hear Jesus kills. Alright? But listen carefully. He kills your enemies. Now, he will kill. He didn't say, alright, kill physically or spiritually. But don't forget, the whole problem was the doctrine. And there are people whose lives have been cut short who teach false doctrine. That's why becoming a pastor is no small matter. It's not saying, you know, I stand down there and, you know, Pastor, God has called me. One prophet lay hands on me and you know, come on for the great revelation and unveiling. You know, it's not a matter of that. I love you too much to put you in positions of responsibility. Amen. Now, the Lord, by saying that, I'm not saying the Lord will kill you. No, but there are forces out there, and the responsibility, if you're not anointed for it, you will kill yourself. Or the responsibility will kill you. Or the burden of it will kill you. Some of you need to hear this. You are not where you're supposed to be. And that's why there's so much stress. Whether it's that job you're doing right now or whatever. If you're not anointed for it, you're not graced for it, you're doing it because mama told you to do it. Alright? Then when you die young, it's not because God killed you. The key, you know, when Jesus said to John, hey, don't be afraid. I have the keys of hell and death. Does that mean, be afraid, I'm going to kill you? What does it mean? It means what? Hey, don't worry, the devil cannot kill you. The government cannot kill you. Your enemies cannot kill you. Nobody can kill you. I have the keys of hell and of death. Don't read the Old Testament and say, so-and-so was killed by Satan, or so-and-so was killed by this enemy. All right, we leave post-cross. He now has the keys of hell and death. And that was reassuring. He was assuring John. Amen. But somehow people twist the whole book around and threaten people with death from the book. You see, God might kill you. How to draw close to a father who kills you? Who might kill you? Jessica, come here. There's a knife behind you. Jessica. Jessica. You know, how can I do that? But if I'm in having a picnic in a forest overseas, and Jessica is sitting down there, and I see a mountain lion creeping slowly behind my daughter, I can take the knife and I'll come slowly. I'll talk to Jessica, don't move. Listen to daddy, don't move. The instruction is for her good, but the killing is for the tiger or the lion or whatever. You understand? Not? Rightly divide the word. And by the way, that's true. Nobody mess with my daughter. So I just let you know, if your son is now 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, all right, you better train him right. Okay? He's going to be my daughter's boyfriend next time. You make sure he attends our church nursery, from nursery, children's church. Amen. You make sure. All right? Amen. Or else one of these days I'll resign as a pastor because of murder. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Don't say I didn't warn you. How many are glad God is like that? God is jealous over his people. You know why he doesn't want you to give your affections to any idol? Because he loves you. I mean, if you know some people, my husband has three women outside, I don't care, you know. Since 20 years ago, I knew about it. That means the love has died. But if someone is very jealous, how come he talked to you just now? Quite long, you know, your talk. Then, woman, listen, the man is in love with you. Amen. No, jealous all the time is no good. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's amazing. The message to Moses, all right, who represented the law, was, I'm come down to deliver my people. Jesus appeared in the middle of the candlestick, the picture of the tree, to tell John, He's come down to deliver his people. But the method is different. Here he used, listen carefully, in a way it's the same. The method is that God sent Moses. All right? And there were judgments